Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We had a thrilling birthday spread. You won't believe it. Went down to the wire. We spoke to Francis Leach, the Aussie sports broadcaster, about VAR over there and how it works. And we had a bit of a conversation about various things. I think that's about right, isn't it? It's all there. Was there anything else, John, that you thought should make the cut?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good. Here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Yeah, you said there in the intro that we're duty-bound to talk about the cricket. Are we duty-bound to reflect briefly on the Crystal Palace-Manchester United game? Can we forget it briefly?
The fog wasn't thick enough, was it, really? That's what we really needed.
Someone tweeted me with a question going, by blanketing Selhurst Park in thick fog, do we have definitive proof that he really is a benevolent God?
Yeah, yeah, it just was.
It did feel like that. It was a bit of a stinker, wasn't it, really?
I'm sort of surprised. Obviously, the players are tired, right? You know, the players are tired. And, you know, it must be...
I think there was a bit of that for United last night.
I think so. Yeah. But you sort of think when the players are tired, you know, when players are tired in Sunday League, it's always like 8-7, you know, because... Can't they be tired in a way that means there are loads of goals? Mm. I mean, obviously, it's easier to tighten up at the back and just say, look, I know you're knackered, just have a low block, etc. But just say, look, they're tired, we're tired. Let's just defend like Sunday League, you know? defend like Manchester United did against Istanbul Başakşehir, where Demba Ba had, you know, 300 yards. I want some goals like that. Come on, that could make... Cause there have been some good games this season. I think it's too easy to say the Premier League is rubbish this year, but... It sort of feels there's a drudge to it now,
yeah,
isn't there? And I just think
we might talk about this at some point. You said you saw some research that has been done that even though there's more football on, there's more games, and everybody has said, oh, wouldn't it be brilliant if every match was live on telly? And you're now starting to think, yeah, not sure. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, 5 minutes on match of the day is all you want.
I think so. Someone has done some research and I can't find it, annoyingly. And I don't know how, I've no idea how scientific it is.
It wasn't a dream, was it?
Maybe it was. Yeah. Like, the last thing I need to do is dream about Crystal Palace Man United. I watched the thing. But the fact that there's so much of it, people are actually watching less. Because I guess when you talk about the old days and there was only one game a week, you know, Elton Wellesby sitting there on the Sunday big match or whatever, that, and you just go, wow, there's a game of football on telly. We're all going to watch it. Whereas now, because and obviously they've all got to be on right now because fans can't be in stadiums, but you do wonder, maybe it goes back.
Yeah.
Maybe it goes back.
I mean, imagine when it was only one game a week, when you had the match on ITV, when you had one game a week, and invariably, why wouldn't they? They'd go for the big games. They'd go for Manchester United versus whoever as much as they could.
Imagine they'd done this season, they'd only have goalless draws.
Well, there was no pressure to share it around then. They could just, you know, they had the deal and they would cherry pick what they wanted and they'd go for the big game. And imagine if that was you saw one live game a week and it absolutely stunk the place out. Well, you can't blame Palace for last night. They're up against it. Roy's trying to get. He just basically said, well, you know, we'll be organised. We'll do what we always do. They haven't got Wilf. They've got no real chance of scoring, although they nearly did. Van Aanholt at the end.
Great save. Henderson played well, actually. Good £10,000 for Carlisle.
£10,000 for Carlisle. Well, I was telling yesterday, every time Dean Henderson plays for Manchester United, Carlisle, as part of the sell-on clause all those years ago, get 10 grand, should which is good. Now, every time I see him make a save, I'm thinking, the Carlo, they'll be punching the air, the old Carlo. Well, they don't. As soon as they see him on the team sheet, 10 past two, or whatever the kickoff time is, 50 minutes before kickoff, they're punching. Yeah, it's 10 grand.
It should be like an extra 250 quid whenever he makes a save. You know, if he claims a corner cleanly, 200 quid. If he saves a one-on-one in the 89th minute, £1,000. They have a totalizer at Carlisle. That would be fun, wouldn't it?
That's the way they should be building these deals.
There was one moment yesterday. Casper Schmeichel made an amazing save from Chris Wood. It sort of made me get out of my chair.
Yeah.
And I was quite deep in the chair, you know, because I was a bit tired. And it really was. It was a brilliant save. Yeah. And I thank you for doing something in the football.
Mm.
And the only other thing that I
great goal by Iheanacho.
It was a great goal by Iheanacho. And I thought Sheffield United defended heroically.
Yeah.
I felt sort of moved by the end that they'd held on, because that red card for me was just... There was one of the screens.
I thought it was. Well, when I watched it back, I thought that might be a red, because you know it wasn't clear cut, but you could have argued he was last man, couldn't you?
And he's I suppose so. But there was one screen. The ref went over to the screen, and one of the screens they'd cut out the covering defender. I was like, that's quite.
Oh, it doesn't help.
It's quite an unfair photo.
Yeah.
But anyway, you might. It was a close one. I just felt like. I wouldn't have. If I'd been reffing that, I'd be like, Dad, it's Phil Jagielka. Mm. He's sort of doing Sheffield United a favour, isn't he? So I wouldn't send him off.
That was a line, wasn't it? So, you know, we kind of look at where he is, but we're going to be talking later on. We're going to cross to Australia to speak to Francis Leach, who's a football journalist over there, because you've probably seen Jared Gillett, the referee's doing EFL games and VAR. It looks like he's going to be on the Premier League list next season. He's done a good job. He's over here studying. And he did very well in the A-League, and quite a lot of his videos where he's mic'd up talking to the players, interacting with the players, and everybody's been saying, this is the way VAR should work. This is the dream. This is what we should have. This should be the kind of global standard. But we thought, we'll talk to Franny Leach, because you don't know, do you? He might say, no, it's been stinking the place out here as well.
That's just an edit.
Because we keep watching these edits where everybody, the players love him and they wish him well when he gets to England. You're a great ref and he seems to manage the players brilliantly. But we don't know. So we'll find out.
We're going to find out if he's a hateful figure.
He could be a terrible bloke. I don't sense he is. I think he comes across particularly well, certainly on those viral videos you've probably seen. Now, anyway, a couple of things to get you going.
Absolutely, huh? And one of which stems from my favourite article in the papers today, from the Daily Star, which begins, Manchester United legend Brian McClair fed Noel Gallagher penguin biscuits as the fledgling rock idol washed his car. I was like, that is an opening paragraph of dream.
Well, you were hooked.
I was totally hooked.
Who wrote the piece? And the journalist deserves some...
No name attributed. On it. Yeah. Mm,
what a great shame.
The Oasis star.
That would have been Pulitzers all round for me.
Wouldn't it be? He used to valet the... Him with Liam would clean cars belonging to famous football faces, says. But when it says,
I bet they always, don't you think Liam and Noel would have put a little bit of gravel
in the
chamois for Brian's car? Sorry, Brian, I seem to have scratched the motor.
They were well brought up.
City, though, isn't it? It's the old rivalry. If you could get Yorkie's car and score a little line down the Ferrari, I'd drop the chamois, a little bit of grit in it.
I love Gary Flitcroft along his car. But when it said Brian McClair fed Noel Gallagher penguin biscuits,
It sounds a bit like he's Cleopatra being fed grapes.
Exactly.
Like he's on a chaise.
What moment is a Manchester United centre forward taking chocolate biscuits and giving them to rock
imagine
stars,
he came
feeding
out.
Them.
Chocky, of course, is United. Well, imagine he came out and says, well, a biscuit. And they said, all right. So they had a biscuit. So imagine it was that. I doubt if he kind of went over and just dropped morsels into their mouths while
the
they
Gallagher's
were shutting up the windscreen.
It would be great, wouldn't it? And Brian McClair
so
and Neil Webb.
It
just
kind of is
them.
A claim to fame. Brian McClair's claim to fame. So it's a chance to dip in once again the long list of claim to fames, such as I held Vinnie Samway's crisps while he went to the toilet. I saw Stuart Pearce's puffer jacket set alight with a cigarette and put out with a pint. I fed Paul Goddard beers through a fence at a barbecue. I delivered a headboard to Bob Wilson. My granddad made a bird table for Mick Shannon. These are all true from back in the day. I delivered a vending machine to Dave Bassett. I always wondered, did he have for a club or was it in his
Bassett
house?
Need a vending did Dave machine?
What about for dinner? I might have crisps. G9. I'm having crisps tonight.
Oh, no.
I don't care.
And it's
my
stuck.
Milky Way. I stuck. Give it a shake, love. Give it a shake. That would be great. Imagine Dave Bassett having a vending machine at home.
Dave Bassett or Dave Bassett?
Oh, sorry, Dave Bassett. Sorry,
right,
Big Dave, if you're listening.
Yeah,
they did play together, Dave Bassett. I once phoned Dave Bassett. We did it in 90 minutes. I've always loved this. We did an FA Cup preview. And I said, Dave, you've got a couple of minutes. We're just asking people in football who's going to win the FA Cup tomorrow. He went, oh, all right, then, go on, then, what is it? I said, so he said, it's going to be this game, it's going to be that game. I can't remember what the game was, which match it was. I said, what's the score going to be? He said, well, I don't know, they haven't played it yet. I said, but give us a score, Dave, for the feature. No, I'm not going to, no. I'll say they're going to win, but I'm not giving you a score. He really dug his heels in. We probably went straight to the vending machine after that.
Well, if Dave Besant had a vending machine, you wouldn't want salad cream, shouldn't be A1, should it? No, because that's quite a drop.
If it did drop,
that's probably how it happened.
Quick one of those. I delivered luxury meats to Rafa Benitez. I delivered a bath to Neville Southall. I accidentally overcharged Seve Ballesteros for a golf ball by €2. So there we are. That was Brian's claim to fame.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby and Max Rushton here on TalkSport. Well, not for the first time. The Australian referee currently doing EFL games and a bit of VAR as well, Jared Gillett, who's over here studying in the UK, has gone viral. His last game in the A-League in Australia went viral because he was mic'd up. We could hear everything that was going on, and he put in a great performance. Looked like a good manager of players, making good calls, seemed to have a good relationship with the players. One of the players comes up and says, look, good luck to you. You're the best ref we got, which is a lovely moment.
Absolutely, players.
And it's not like he knows he's going to do another game so he can get on his good side.
He should be working in a bar or a barista, shouldn't he, making coffee, really.
But there's another clip that's done the rounds as well, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I mean, lots of people over here have been saying, this is how VAR is done in Australia. Yeah. It's amazing. It's perfect. The refs are mic'd up. It's completely seamless. And I just wondered if that is true or not. That was my question.
Okay. Well, let's head to Australia now and speak to Australian football journalist, not Australian football. Oh, he does love Australian football.
Of course.
But that's not the point.
No.
So let's call it soccer for the point of this. Francis Leach joins us. Hi, Francis.
G'day, gentlemen. How are we tonight?
Yeah, tremendous.
We're not too bad.
Whatever the hell the time it is there.
So, the clips have gone viral. Everybody's been talking about it. So is it working brilliantly in the A-League? Have we got a lot to learn?
Well, and look, funnily enough, the A-League was one of the test pilots for VAR. So it's been in operation here a fair while now. So as FIFA were considering implementing it across the major leagues around the world, the A-League was already using it in games as well. So we've had a lot of experience of it. There's not been the same level of controversy with VAR in Australia as there has been on watching games in the Premier League and the frustration that's come along with that. The only time it has been a problem was in one of the biggest games of the season when Melbourne Victory played the Newcastle Jets in a grand final, like a cup final. We have a strange, very Australian-style season where we have a regular season and then we have a final series to decide who's going to win the championship. And they lost a minute and a half of the footage. It was like a Pruder film. Like, it just, the camera went off at a really crucial moment, and that was the one goal in the game that was scored. So so that was about 4 or 5 years ago, but 3 or 4 years ago now. But relatively, it's been fairly smooth because, as you said, the refs are mic'd, and the deal that Fox Sports, the main service provider, struck with the A-League to do that, I think, has allowed fans to at least hear the communication of the refs with those upstairs and also with the players. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a bit of there's a discretion around that, but whenever they use the mics or not, a bit like in the cricket. And it has meant that there's a greater understanding of the use of VAR. And we haven't had quite as many of those get the protractor out moments where they're looking to see if a shoelace is offside. I'd say relatively it's pretty good. I was at a game just a couple of weeks ago where the VAR was employed, I think, 3 times in the space of 15 minutes between Melbourne Victory and Western United, one of the new teams in the competition. And it was done really quickly. It wasn't 2 or 3 minutes standing around waiting. And most of the fans now have kind of accepted its role in the game because of the brevity in which it's done, which allows the game to continue as quickly as possible. And obviously everyone will be frustrated if the call goes against them, but it isn't that howling cry from the stands to get rid of it.
A lot of the discussion here about whether we mic refs up or not, Francis, is about the amount of swearing that we might hear. And I just wondered do you hear all the swearing? And B, what's the fan experience in the stadium like? Because you've obviously got fans in stadiums as well, which we don't have at the moment. But do they hear the VAR as well, or is that just for TV viewers?
No, it's just for TV, Max. And look, I don't think swearing's been a major issue. I think, you know, we've become pretty good. I think most sports broadcasters are now being able to sort of, you know, to modify or at least, you know, ride the mic and make sure that you don't hear the stuff that you might otherwise want to keep from young ears. There might have been the odd F-bomb slip through, but nothing significant in that regard. No, we don't hear it in the stands, but as I said, because it's done relatively quickly and the game gets on pretty quick, we haven't had any of those 3 or 4 minute stops where, you know, the team upstairs are looking, then they call the ref over to look at the screen, and then he goes or she goes back out there and makes a decision. So they've got that down to a finer art than what I've seen happening elsewhere in the world.
What about the way they communicate decisions in the stadiums, Francis? How does that tend to work? Because that's been an issue here. There is a feeling that if people can't hear it coming over the way we do in cricket, so we know what's going on. I mean, how have they been handling that in the A-League?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. So they'll just say, you know, VAR decision, and then you wait for the ref to make the decision, and then you might get the screen saying, you know, offside, no goal, or you know, or foul, or you know, penalty. So there isn't the same way that, say, in American sport, when you know, in watching an NFL game, the umpire will stop and give you the absolute detail of the nature of the foul and tell you what went on and why a team has been penalised. That's not happening. Which it is frustrating, but I think mostly fans are pretty cognizant of why there might be a VAR call, you know, if it's offside or if they feel there's been a foul. So you kind of know that what the narrative is, you just don't know what the decision's going to be. I think it's not like watching, if you're an ingenue watching a rugby union match and you're trying to work out the prosaic nature of what goes on in the scrum and a foul's being called and the referee doesn't say anything, they just call a foul and get on with it. And you're going, well, what the hell was going on there?
Sure. What about... Part of the reason that I think miking up referees here would be a good idea is it would kind of humanise the whole situation. When you hear the voice of someone, you might forgive them mistakes a bit more, or you'd have a better idea. Right. You know, do TV fans...
What if Mike Down sounds like Mickey Mouse or something and it really freaks you out?
They could have a bit of a funny voice.
Of course, yeah. But I just wonder, like, has that happened for the TV viewers in the A-League, that they sort of know who the referees are now? They sort of know what to expect, what they sound like, how they deal with those things?
Well, you just talked about Jared Gillett before, and he was, you know, because he communicated brilliantly with the players, and he's a younger referee, so he sort of, you know, he was in the demographic almost, that he had a really relaxed, direct approach with them that, yeah, it actually enhances your trust of the referee. But not everyone's going to be like that. I mean, we saw that ref in the championship, didn't we, the other week? Was it the championship game where he had a crack at one of the Ipswich players?
Yes, Darren Drysdale, yeah.
Now, that's the kind of refing I want to see, but it's probably not good for the game.
Yeah.
Imagine if that was biked up. That would be a box office hit.
It would.
So I guess, you're going to have some great experiences, but just like everything else, there'll be moments where you go, oh, my God, please get that guy off Mike.
Yeah, you're right. We will find out. You know, in the end, we'd say, oh, Mike Dean, we know what he's like. He won't stand for that. Whereas we think, oh, John Moss... Normally, he's a bit more, you'll kind of get an idea of the way they referee because we don't really know at the moment.
John Moss won't be able to talk. He'll be huffing and puffing. He's so puffed out trying to
keep up. I won't hear a bad word about John Moss. I met him once. I was in Hong Kong with John Moss.
What, just the two of you?
The two of us. So,
City break.
Yeah, it was. And it was the Hong Kong Sevens. He was the referee, and I'd never met him and I'd never heard him speak. I said, what have you been up to today? And he said, I've been going around the back streets of Hong Kong finding vintage Chinese vinyl. And I was like, what an amazing answer. Yeah.
That's brilliant. See, this is the thing. We find out referees are more interesting than we imagine.
Yeah, he's got a record shop called The Vinyl Whistle.
The Vinyl Whistle, yeah. Francis, thanks very much.
Cheers, mate.
See you, guys.
Francis Leach there, Australian football journalist. You don't sense that the broadcasters are pushing to do this. Maybe they are behind the scenes, but you don't ever sense that they would want this.
I was just thinking, would eventually, there would be referees who are kind of got secret sponsorship deals, would start talking about, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Trouble is, there's a fine line because we've seen referees who have their name on their boots or have nicknames. You know what I mean? Again, it's like we don't want to know that. We want to know so much, but we don't want to know too much.
Right.
That is the key. But anyway, Jared Gillett has done such a good job, apparently, we read today, that he could well be on the Premier League list next season because some of the referees are a bit ageing and he's young legs. So, he's done very well. But anyway, there we are. Francis Leach explaining how it all works in Oz. It's Paul Hawksby and Max Rushton here on TalkSport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Minch has been in touch. Andy Minchin has been in touch regarding who's the DJ in the dressing. Jed Wallace at Millwall, of course, is the DJ. Difficult balance to strike.
Takes it very seriously.
Those who like R&B, those who want a bit of trance, and those who like a guitar-based beat. And he says a very tight ship at the Res, he says, Minch. Themed weeks, song choices in by 11 a.m. on match day.
Wow.
Same song in twice is a £1 fine. Most importantly, bad song choice equals one nugget. I don't know what that is.
Right.
Claridge, I presume it's not Steve Claridge, but maybe he's still playing, is also banned from a song choice indefinitely.
Wow.
They say, there we are.
So I suppose he'll put a playlist together in the morning when you're playing.
Well, that's nice.
Old Actonian's playlist for today. You
exactly.
get him in, so you've got on Spotify. All he's got is press the button, and it's got all the
14 songs.
All the boys are happy.
That's excellent.
They've all had a song.
It? Yeah, but I mean, how many can you really play? You get there an hour before. You're only in there for half an hour, really. You need a half hour tight set.
Yeah,
that's what you need.
Because if it's a player saying, "I'm not going out till I've heard my song,"
that's it.
Yeah, because that's
bad
luck
in the shuffle if it comes out late.
That's
and do you have two post match? Do you have like a happy, upbeat post match, or more reflective? Or you know, we've just scrambled a point at Alain's. What's that? What's that music? What do you have music for? Just a like a sketchy draw.
You're asking a lot. You're asking the alternative playlist. Yeah. I mean, that is taking it very seriously. You've been telling us about claims to fame this afternoon because Brian McClair kicked off a new one today because he fed penguin biscuits to the Gallagher brothers while they washed his car back in the day. Not recently, obviously, but when they were kids. I nearly sold Max Rushton a holiday to Iceland about 12 years ago, says David. Do you remember this?
Well, I did go to Iceland in...
But you didn't buy it from David, clearly.
I think I just went online and just booked my own flights. I just sorted it out myself, but... Anyway, I don't remember.
You don't remember phoning David?
I don't remember phoning Dave and saying, I want to go to Reykjavik. No, I don't remember it.
Derek said, I used to be Aston Villa manager Dean Smith's postman at two different addresses.
Marvellous.
I don't know if he didn't move that far or Derek went with him as his official postman to Aston Villa.
He's an add-on.
Yeah.
Would Dean Smith say in my contract talks, could I possibly have the same postman?
Yeah. Can I'll come, but Derek's got to come with
he's
me.
He's doing a great job at Brentford.
It's a deal breaker.
Can he move from Southwest London to the Midlands? Sure.
You just have to find him a place up here. Anyway, this is a nice one from Adam from Dunmo in Essex. He said, I used to have my own chauffeur business. I picked up Gary Kemp of Spandau fame from Stratford Theatre to take him home. Through the Barricades, of course, one of the band's hits, came on the radio. And it happens to be one of my faves. He asked me to turn it up, which is nice. And we both belted it out driving up the Euston Road. That must have been a great feeling.
A great moment.
Yeah.
It's Through the Barricades. What's that after? That's after a 1-0 defeat, isn't it? To make you, come on, we go again.
Yeah.
We go
again. I mean, if United had scored late, they would have liked that in the dressing room.
Possible.
But it didn't happen, of course.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Jack has been in touch on the subject of being the DJ or the music that your team was playing for Maltby Manor.
Mm.
We used to have a portable Bluetooth speaker that was also a disco ball. We had three songs pre-match every week that Smithy picked. Shane Ward, That's My Goal, Whitney Houston, It's Not Right, and Robbie Williams, Angels. I'd hate to think what the other teams thought of us.
Yeah.
Got a disco ball. I quite like it. I quite like erecting a disco ball in the opposition dressing room.
Let's see those arms in the air, but not in an unnatural position, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This comes from Matthew in Leeds. I sold Nigel Martin a television, which he was buying for a relative when I worked at Comet. It wasn't an expensive TV, but I asked him if he wanted to take out an extended warranty for 5 years. I nearly collapsed when he said yes. Obviously, a lot of people didn't. If he didn't claim on the policy, he could claim the money back after 5 years. I imagine the voucher to claim the money back will be kicking around his loft somewhere. Well, we'll get Nigel on.
Well, Nigel's a lovely man. Nigel's a lovely man.
Yeah.
Does he still have the warranty for his television? Leon has been in touch.
What made him go extended warranty?
I don't know.
We know it's been quite a controversial thing over the years. Bit of a watchdog staple.
Leon says, hey, Max. Was that filming of a £20 note floating down the tube stairs on the news last night all I've been able to think about, the suspense? Well, I don't know.
I didn't see it.
I was watching the football. Did anybody see a £20 note falling down the steps of
Max
Bank Tube Station?
Saw it being filmed on Budget Day yesterday by a crew taking a lot of effort to do it, and you thought it would be on the news last night.
Someone must have seen it on the news. Maybe it didn't work.
Maybe it didn't work.
Well, who knows? But, you know, for Leon and my benefit, please let us know.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Fonda's been in touch.
Hello, Fonda.
I once sold window blinds to Sam Matterface's parents. That is a claim to fame.
You're not going to get better than that.
Certainly is. Sold running shoes to John Motson before he did the Great North Run 20 years ago, says Gary. And I used to sell Greavesy, all the jumpers he wore on Cup Final Day, the sort of golfing sweaters, says Davey in Essex.
So I'm going to message Sam right now and ask him if the blinds in his parents' house are nice.
Yeah, because one of the listeners has just admitted that their finest hour was...
I won't tell him why I'm asking.
That's a bit creepy. You've been sitting outside watching them come and go, I guess. Darren's been in touch.
Hello, Darren.
Claims to fame. He says, I was an apprentice at Palace and I used to clean Wrighty's boots. I had exactly the same size feet and I used to break in his new match boots because we couldn't afford steamers in the 80s. When I was released from the club, Wrighty very kindly gave me his match boots as a treasured keepsake, complete with his initials and squad number on the boots. A few years ago, I couldn't find them in the house, so I asked my brother if he'd seen them. He looked a bit sheepish and said, yeah, I'm sorry, I sold them. He said, how much for? He said, I took a fiver for them. Oh, Darren, that's terrible. What a terrible
business.
I did
like the Cleat Pro man trying to sell me a mini one.
Yeah, he's trying
to sell
you a
mini. I can't turn up to Polytechnic Vets with a bespoke steamer for my Puma Kings, can I?
If you marched into a dressing room and the centre-half was looking at you and you've got your own personal boot steamer, that would be you being Rose Ed, wouldn't you, in about five minutes?
I was saying to you, you know, the Sunday after football's back, me and Barry will do the tech subject. Did you pull your hammy yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
You know how many players are going to be out there and then your first sprint down the line, warm up enough, steam boots or not, and it's just going to be ping, ping, ping all over the country.
And what will the cry-offs be? There'll be cry-offs as well. So what will the cry-offs be after that first day? You know, I've sort of got something on.
Yeah.
Couldn't you have ring-fenced it? Anyway.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
It is time for the birthday spread.
I'm giddy with nerves.
Yeah. We're going to have 10 birthdays put to us by Andy. He'll have a gag attached to each one. And the idea is, of course, that we try and predict how old these people are, and there'll be a margin of error that builds over the 10 birthdays, and the one who's nearest the pin, I suppose, one of the shortest, smallest margin of error, is the winner. Many of you have been
Paul.
Well, it has been so far, but today could be very different. Andy Jacobs.
We all know the truth.
Sets the gags. Jeff Peters is the scorer. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon, Andy.
Yes, I've been getting messages all day willing Max to win. Honestly, yeah. They're really getting behind
I'm
the underdog.
For him.
this is pity. This is just, no, I don't want that.
I'll play hard. I'll play hard, but I'll play fair. But if I lose, I'll take it on the chin.
Well, that's how it should be. But that doesn't mean you're rooting for me. That's different. Paul.
I mean, I want to win, but maybe not as badly as you do. Jeff Peters is the scorer. Hi, Jeff. He's in the nerve centre.
I tell you what, lots of love for the birthday spread.
Yeah.
Big fans include former lead striker turned pundit Lucy Ward, Sky Sports commentator Tony Jones, who said some of Max's guesses are hysterical. Jane Seymour, 86.
Yeah, Jesse, this is what he does to people.
I thought Jane Seymour was a fan.
Jane Seymour, 86. How dare you, Max? Anyway, we better crack on then. So,
well, we don't have to. I'm just trying to get myself in the zone. I didn't know that Sydney... I mean, I'm pleased to learn last week that Sydney Poitier was still with us.
He certainly is.
So here we go.
Take it away, Pele. Here we go, Andy.
Yes, and it's a very, very happy birthday to the designer and owner of Superdry. Yes, and of course, Julian Dunkerton, I should say, isn't it?
Julian Dunkerton.
That's right. Abercrombie & Fitch, they weren't happy with him, you know, when he first came on the fashion scene with a very similar style of shop. They tried to get me to write a review online. They wanted me to slam Dunkerton.
Ah. So what do you think is the best thing? The person that won last week, did they start it or do they go second?
Well, can you go first?
Because you don't know this guy.
Because the way you said yes about Julian Dunkerton makes me, you probably lived next door to him.
He's been on holiday with him.
Exactly.
Dunkerton Donuts, I know him from, of course. I'd say he's about 54. What do you think he is, Max?
Someone tweeted me to say the average age in the UK is 40.1. Take it into the corner.
Yeah.
You say 54? Yeah. I'd say 56.
What is he?
56. Good start.
Dude, that was a okay, it was a little bit underhand, so I will park that. I mean,
that's noted, isn't it?
A little bit underhand. Okay, fair enough.
Well, underhand. It was only the right answer, Paul. What else am I meant to do with this game?
That's the way you want to play it. That's the way we'll play it. Okay, take it away. Keep going.
Top work. Okay, very happy birthday to the fine singer and actor, Harry Belafonte.
Belafonte. Oh, no.
And you know him, Max, because he was a big fan of the former Leeds and West Ham keeper, Mervyn Day. I remember the song he wrote about him. Deo, deo, yeah. Mervyn Day saves and we win at home.
Harry Belafonte, he must be pretty old, is what I'm saying, but I don't know how old. And I'm just the moment in the game where Paul goes, he's a bit older than that. 85.
I think he is a bit older than that, but not a lot.
Okay.
I'd say he's about 96.
He's 94.
Oh, okay. So what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Harry Belafonte.
Well, Paul is 2 out. Max is 9 out. So it's Paul on 4, Max on 9.
Okay. Nothing in it.
Nothing in it.
Right.
No. Okay.
Okay, very happy birthday to the rower, 3-time Olympic gold medalist, Andrew Triggs Hodge. He was present in a bar, funnily enough, when there was an incident involving a young Derek Chisora. Del Boy fell through the bar and Triggs pulled a face.
The thing is, do you know this guy?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Do you? See, because he could be 103, somebody from the 19 sort of 40 odd Olympics, or he could be. I seem to think we've spoken to him. It rings a bell. So I'm going to go 43. What do you think, Max?
Well, I thought he was going to be younger than that. I think he's a little bit younger than that. I think 36.
42.
Oh.
So that's right for getting cocky for someone I've never heard of that you've interviewed.
So what we got there, Jeff?
So Paul is 1 out. Max is 6 out. Paul onto 5. Max onto 15.
Okay.
Oh, God, 10 already.
It's early days. It's very
calm down.
Days.
Come on, give us a nothing. Cambridge United fullback. Give us Billy Manuel. Come on.
No, he's Andy Smart. Always does great work for them at Christmas. He's the chief executive of Crisis, John Sparks.
Oh, yeah.
And he does a great job, of course. But in the old days, we were adversaries on the local council. Mm. It was either him or me in the end. I said to Sparks, this town ain't big enough for the both of us.
That's nice. Hey. The old fans of 70s music.
I don't like it when Paul says, oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't know John Sparks. Oh, yeah. I don't know him.
John Sparks is...
Hang on, it's your go, isn't it? Yeah, sorry, guys. Carry on. Go on. What you launching
Dickie says, oh, boy, here we go again. Sorry, Dickie, I've got this. John Sparks is... 60 on the dot.
60 blind 60, yeah, as they say in bingo circles. He's probably not a lot off of that. I was going to say 62.
Okay.
53.
Oh, okay. Max making up some ground. Okay.
So Paul is 9 out. Max is 7 out. Paul onto 14. Max onto 22. 8 in it after 4 hours.
Nothing in it.
Come on, Max.
Okay. It's the Lord Lieutenant of Nottinghamshire's birthday, Chairman of Burberry, Sir John Peace. I should say he was the chairman of Burberry from 2002 to 2018, Sir John Peace. Hmm. And at one time, Yoko Ono wanted him fired, but I persuaded her not to. I said, give Peace a chance.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. That's all you were saying.
That is terrible.
That's all you were saying.
I know.
Sir Jam Peace, as he's known in the Midlands. I'd say he is Sir John 72, I'm going to go for. Maximus, what do you think?
I think you're pretty close there. 74.
Brilliant guessing. He's 72.
Oh, well done.
So it's a direct hit for Paul. Max is two out. It's 14 plays, 24. And I saw Sir John Peace and his wife on the London Eye. Yeah.
You're making yourself laugh, Jeff, aren't you?
It's such a terrible gag. It was two peace in a pod.
Oh, gosh. Oh, dear. Know your place. Know your place, Peter.
I actually had permission from Andy on WhatsApp.
Stop building your part, Jeff.
Jeff does the scores. Andy does the jokes.
He's looking for his own spin-off.
He's
looking for a kind of House of Games spin-off like Richard Osman has got. That's what it is. Anyway.
Go on.
Who's next?
Sorry, it's me. I was waiting for Jeff. He'd taken over. It's the Prime Minister of Russia, Mikhail Mishustin.
Is he still the Prime Minister? That's quite a fluid position, that, isn't it, really? He's the Prime Minister of Russia now. Okay, Mikhail Mishustin.
Well, he was this morning when I wrote this.
Okay.
I don't know if he's got...
He could have gone
because he's very unfortunate. Actually, he suffers from athlete's foot and fungal infections between his toes. He's known in the Kremlin dressing room as Mikhail Mishustin.
Not good enough.
What do you think he is?
Mishustin is 54.
54? I don't know the man. I've got to fair say, there is one high-profile Russian politician, and he isn't it. So I'd say he's 48.
He's 55. It's closing up.
See, suddenly.
There we go. Suddenly, you've in my sweet spot, Russian politicians.
What are we looking at now?
Well, Paul is seven out. Max is one out. So Paul's on 21. Max is on 25. I've just had a text from Lee Bullen of Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
Owls legend on the coaching staff. And he just sent a message going, two piece in a pod, and then a face palm emoji.
Yeah. I'm going to come back to haunt you next time you're at Sheffield Wednesday game.
Welcome to my world. Anyway, it's the former Labour MP.
Your jokes don't even get respect. They don't even get comment from Sheffield Wednesday coaches, Andy.
No one gets in touch.
That's true. Don't rub it in. It's the former Labour MP, Joan Humble. Joan Humble.
Right.
And I don't know if you know this, but Joan's just started a self-promotion agency with Melvin Bragg. Oh. But they're still searching for a name. They just can't come up with one.
Of course. Yeah, just online they were talking about it, weren't they? I think it's me.
Is it you?
It is me, yeah. I've been writing it down. PM.
Yeah. Joan Humble.
I've got to be honest, Max, I don't know who she is.
You don't know Joan Humble? I'm taking a pun.
Okay. But she's a former Labour MP. I think she could be. I'm going to go 80, blind 80. What do you think?
80?
Yeah, I'm going 80. You're going to. This could be a game. This could be the moment. You may look back on Joan. You may be sending her a bunch of flowers this evening.
It's like, go for what I was thinking.
Go on, then go for what you were thinking, yeah.
I'll up it a bit. 68.
Joan Humble is 70.
Oh, see, you're right to go with your instincts, Max.
Well, don't I was thinking 61, guessing. But then I went. I was tactical. I'm getting better at this.
What's that done?
So Paul is 10 out.
Sorry, Joan, if you're listening.
Paul is. Let's get ready to humble. Paul is 10 out. Max is 2 out.
Yes.
Paul onto 31. Max in the lead on 27. With 3 to go. Oh,
no. Come on, Max. You can take the pressure.
I don't want your pity. Let's I'll get support from anyone else but you.
Come on, Max. Here we go. Come on.
Okay.
Ian says. Do not mess this up, Max. Come on.
Film director and actor Ron Howard. Okay. I don't know, Paul, do you remember the time he came in for an interview and he asked us if we'd take home a TalkSport mug?
Yeah.
Oh, happy days.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. That's just a lovely moment, really, just remembering people coming into the studio. He was beaming because we gave him a TalkSport mug. It's incredible, isn't it? Available in the TalkSport shop, by the way.
If you want to curl up the one. Yeah.
He always takes mugs away from every radio interview he does. I mean, that's Howard's way.
Oh, God. So, Jeff, you've been told, mate. You've been told. One a show. One a show.
Just got more Lee Bullen reaction. That's what I'm. 69.
Okay. Who was it again? Was it
Ron Howard.
Okay. Ron Howard, 65.
Oh, it's close. He's 67.
Ooh.
So both two out. It's 33 to Paul, 29 to Max. Four in it. Two to go.
I can't bear this.
I can promise you these next two are going to separate the men from the boys.
Okay. Billy says, I've booked the open top bus.
Here we go then.
It's the president of the European Court of Human Rights from 2011 to 2012, Nicholas Bratzer. Okay. And his parents actually lavished him with every toy a child could possibly want. Yeah, he was a real spoiled Bratzer.
Yes. Of course he was. He was a spoiled Bratzer. 69, Andy, I'm going for.
Okay.
What do you think, Max?
71.
76.
Oh.
It's getting serious now. Paul 7 out, Max 5 out. Paul is on 40. Max is on 34. So Max is in the lead going into the final round.
And you go first, Max, for the last one.
Please be my dad.
This one's a beauty because it could be anything. Dad. Okay, it's the composer Vladislav Shoot. And his orchestra, actually, is made up of very, very tedious, unfunny football fans. They're so witless. Every single time he walks in the room, they go, "Shoot!"
Yeah. I remember his orchestral league ladders. They were fantastic. I mean, used to lose them down the back of the bed. Find little bits of bent cardboard for years, saying things like oboe and piano, for years and years. All down the back of the bed when we moved the house. There was some actually under the gripper rod.
Martin says, you know,
timpani.
Just know Max is going to choke against Paul Gill. Come on, Max, don't blow this. Take the ball into the corner, play out for time. Jack, this is TalkSport's Leicester City moment. Last penalty to win it, says Chris.
What do you think?
Vladimir, shoot.
Yeah.
No, Vladislav. Oh. Don't get him wrong.
That was like a Mark Sagers intro, wasn't it?
Go on then. Here we go.
It was.
He is 71.
71, and I'm how many out?
Six.
Six.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'll go. He's 78.
He's 18. Robbed at the last. What? It was Devon Lock all over again.
What's the final score, Jeff?
So Paul is 2 out. Max is 9 out.
Yes.
The scores are 42, 43.
Oh, yeah.
And the winner is, for the 9th week running, Paul Hawksby.
Nine in a row.
Vladislav Shoot.
It's all the sweeter for making it just one out.
Isn't it? Well played, Paul.
Thank you.
Marvellous.
Very much,
well done.
Brilliant guessing from both players, it has to be said.
We have to go because the moose awaits. So, boys, thank you ever so much.
Yes.
Andy, we'll see you tomorrow.
Again.
We'll see you tomorrow. And thank you, Jeff. Catch up with you next week.
Thanks, guys.
There we are. There's another birthday. That was close, wasn't it?
What a game. It really was.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Very briefly, Sam Matterface has been in touch with his dad, who says... His dad says, I fitted the blinds in my house, all 10 of them. They were brilliant. I measured them, had them made and fitted them. So it does bring one of the claims to fame into disrepute.
Wow,
this late stage.
Well,
that's right.
We'll be sticking with this story, clearly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Max, you're back on Saturday with Charlie, aren't you?
I can't think about anything. I can't think about anything but the birthday spread.
Yeah. It's spent. He had to be led from the studio at the end. Anyway, Andy back tomorrow for the clips of the week and all that. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.